Let's go.
Are we going?
Yes.
Yes, this is the last two pages of book one have rather an interesting history. It's really concerned with loot from World War II, oddly enough, that when at the end of World War II, various items that were in Germany were basically looted by both the US and Great Britain. And what I'm talking about here for the last two pages is a microbalance made by Sartorius, a very famous balance maker from Germany. In fact, our current balance in North Carolina is a Sartorius. They're beautiful balances and quite impressive machines. Anyway, Sandy Oxton in some way or other got hold of a Sartorius microbalance. That's a balance able to weigh micrograms from Germany, but it has never been adjusted properly. And there are various knife edges in a balance, three at least. One which is the main knife edge on which the balance beam rocks, and then there are two knife edges which are knife edges supporting the two pans. If it's a double, in this type of balance, there was one side had a weight and the other side had the object you were measuring, and the deflections were used to find how much the right-hand side differed from the left. But this required that the knife edges be adjusted in a very special way, because the center of gravity of the balance has to be below the knife edge that pivots the beam of the balance. And the distance that it is below the center of gravity, the distance the center of gravity is below that knife edge, determines the sensitivity of the balance. So obviously it has to be balanced rather carefully, and the other two knife edges also have to be adjusted. And I was given this balance to try to calibrate it, and I might say I never was able to calibrate it because I didn't know which order to make the adjustment. So anyway, on the on the 5th of whatever month it is we're in, I'll look back to see what month, the 5th of March, I began to try to adjust and calibrate this microbalance. So the first thing I did is I levelled it with a precision level, focused the scale and fixed the zero, and I had a 5 milligram weight which I could put on the left-hand pan. It was a physical weight, and adjusted the zero, etc., with what was called a rider, and the rider was adjusted to be 0.02 milligrams on the left, and the reading came out as 20.4. That's 20.4 micrograms. And the temperature was 19.6, and I adjusted the new values, and I got a mean of 20.5. And the zero was adjusted, etc., and I did it again, and zero adjusted, and then got 21.2, and decided to clean the balance of the knife edges, and did this, and repeated it, and got various readings. They were not stable, and I dismantled everything and cleaned it more extensively and reassembled, adjusting the positions of the knife edge relative to the guides, etc., etc., and tried again. And this time I put a 2 gram weight in the two sides, and couldn't get it to come correctly. I got 19.9 grams in one side and 18.8 if it was the other, I think is what it's meaning. But I cleaned the knife edges and etc. and took everything into the constant temperature room. And I even have a graph of how much they were deviating from a straight line that I don't quite understand. But anyway, that's what I was doing at the end of book one. And so book two continues with this attempt to adjust the balance. Now I'm talking about the 13th of May 1949. I don't know how that jump of time occurred, but at least it says 13.549. The scale arm was loosened to move so as to bring the beam, etc., to equilibrium, and left hand side, right hand side, zero difference. 9.2 on the left hand side and 18.2 on the right, and etc., etc., and the sensor slightly over to the left, but the effect is very small. The sensitivity is wrong, so I had to try raising the center of gravity, and this altered the sides unequally. And so I'm trying again another page of doing it with a 2 gram load, and I've got 10 on one side and 10 on the other, plus or minus less than 0.05, and I've been fairly happily with it. Then I tried with the sensitivity versus the load, 0.1 milligrams always on the left hand side to simulate the usual weighing conditions, and 1 gram, 2 grams, 5 grams, 10 grams, 10 grams, etc. And how much did it come? And it wasn't really very good, because the sensitivity varied with the load, so that at 1 gram I got 10 micrograms, and but with a 7 gram on either side I got 9.4, so it was not able to have the same sensitivity with load. And I decided the pan knife edges must be below the central edge, and tried messing around with that. And noticed that the knife edges were not quite straight, and so on, and messing around with it, tested on the balance, showed considerable shift with load. That page, another page, sensitivity is 7.9, raised the center of gravity and retested. Here I am now, 24th of May, and still messing around with it, not working very happily. Moving the center of gravity, the balance arm, calibration of the weight. I was using a National Physical Laboratory weight as a tear, with weights on either side, etc. Try waiting different time. Wait, I'm still working on it. Hopeless. Here I've got a note on 2S2G, hopeless. Removed air dampers, there were some air dampers and things. Here I'm with pages and pages of this stuff. The last 6 months suggest that temperature variation causes irregularity. So I'm trying to make this thing work. Gloves used. Two doors of the outer cage kept open, but not the glass door, etc. And trying again to get this thing to work. A note, discontinue for the time being. Then here I am, the 31st of May, still trying with this thing. The weight of the protein and the weighing box. I am trying to weigh something, vacuum dried, etc. transferred to the weighing bottle. I think this is actually must have been on a different balance. I think I must have given up the experiments with the sartorias. Fair, discontinue for the time being. Then there's a blank page, and so the next page is nothing to do with the balance. It's just me trying to measure the weight of my freeze-dried protein. Had four, though it's a little odd, I had 4.55 milligrams of the protein recrystallized to be attempted, dissolved, etc., in water and in the electrodialyzer, dialyzed against degassed water. So I'm back to working with protein solutions, trying to get dry lactoglobulin. So here we are making up 0.1 mole of sodium chloride in which to dissolve it. That I need to have 0.33115 grams. My God, that sort of hopeful precision. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 decimal places. Sodium chloride has molarity of 0.10004. So I'm obviously happy with it. Everything's written to so many decimal places. 24 milligrams were taken, dissolved in water, in 1 mL of 0.02 molar sodium chloride, etc., etc. Dialyzed, small sample was examined, crystalline, small but perfect crystal. So, typical Smithies working. Here we are with an ultracentrifuge run, no page number in this book. But an ultracentrifuge run 718. That was Sandy Ogston had the one of the only three Swedberg ultracentrifuges in the Department of Biochemistry at Oxford, which was principally operated by Rupert Cecil. I tried to avoid the machine because it was such a huge, complicated thing. I really didn't like it. But anyway, here I am with an ultracentrifuge run, first one that I've recorded in Oxford. And I measured the sedimentation constant as 2.80 times 10 to the minus 13. And the plate looked a very symmetrical peak. Plates show complete homogeneity, is what I said, at least with this test. And somewhere here I'm worried about to determine where the loss of concentration occurs. Protein crystallizers were centrifuged and washed and dried. And it says some loss of very fine crystals occurred because they bumped out of the flask in the stream of water molecules. This did not seem to occur until the vacuum had been broken to adjust a joint. So, leak, do not therefore break the vacuum once started, unless essential. Trying to dry my protein without losing anything. Anybody who's done freeze drying of proteins knows what I mean. It's very easy for bits of the protein that you're drying to follow the stream of water molecules and disappear out of the drying flask. Measuring refractive indexes. Refractometry of 0.580% lactoglobulin. Now we're in 18th of June 1949. Cell not very clean and leaked. Disassembled, cleaned it and reassembled it. Similar things going on all the time. Trying to get good clean lactoglobulin. Again, here's diffusion constant. With the sedimentation and indications of a little peak that was faster, than the main component, so that there might be really a mixture of two proteins, one smaller than the other. We're calibrating the built refractometer again, using potassium chloride, which is 0.199999 molar. My God, how many decimal points does Smithers use? Tear. Here I'm having a little trouble. 1.43252 with a correction to 5.1, plus or minus 3, plus 3, minus 4 in that decimal point. So I'm talking about measurements to four decimal places. The potassium chloride solution, I end up by saying it's 0.9406 molar. Determine the cell constant. Repeating a heating experiment. Here's where I made a comment somewhere earlier that you could heat lactoglobulin crystals when they were dry, and here is they were heated for 4 hours at 105 degrees centigrade. Though initially 15 to 20 minutes at 140 degrees centigrade, and it didn't do any harm to the protein as far as its ability to go into solution was concerned. This final solution, very slightly opalescent, no precipitate solution of the solid, was very ready. So it's extremely resistant to being heated when it's dry. More ultra-centrifuge experiments. And then another preparation as usual of lactoglobulin. You have to make the stuff time and time again. Here we're talking on the 7th of June, 1949, 2 gallons of raw milk, etc., etc. This time I used a better grade of ammonium sulfate. What sort of filter paper do you use? In those days, there were many types of filter papers, and I liked 54 papers. They were very hard and very thick, and they didn't lose little bits of filter paper into your solution. Very thin papers, very hard. 54. I still remember them. At one time I had a huge collection of different filter papers. I have a note here, attempt to use somebody's electrodes for pH measurements with the comment, no use, these electrodes are done. A glass electrode. This is a glass pH meter. I don't know who DC is. Oh, it must probably be RC. It's probably Rupert Cecil's electrode. Yes, here the next page, it is new electrodes made with RC's, Rupert Cecil's blanks. So worrying about pH meters now. Repeat on the microbes pH meter, set up with borate, which is a constant pH of 9.23. Later on, I used that quite extensively in my work a year ago. Borax, when dissolved in water, always gives a pH of 9.23 or 9.13, whichever. I think 9.23 standard pH. Here I'm trying on the 30th of August 1949 to calibrate the apparatus used for measuring surface tension, the capillary rise apparatus, trying different additions to alter the surface tension. I tried adding T-pole. To ensure accuracy, all the former tubes in the U-tube were boiled in sodium hydroxide and then in distilled water, left overnight in distilled water. Washed out and started again. Three drops of T-pole were added. Various measurements. A half a cc of T-pole to 1 liter. Repeat tomorrow. Attempted to ensure that the meniscus was always at the same place in the apparatus. So pages and pages of worrying about surface tension and whether I could get rid of it with T-pole. Still more pages of T-pole. Distilled water, repeat with pages and pages. Moved to the classroom, organic solvent vapors in the lab. I wasn't happy with organic vapors in the lab, so I moved to the classroom. A new lot of distilled water even. Water and T-pole, more things. Acid cleaned everything, washed well with distilled water and started again. Each reading to be taken at more than 5 minutes apart after steady reading to try to avoid some effects of time. Always worried about super precision. There's a diagram of the apparatus, which I just don't remember what it was. It had a funny shape, but I don't remember how it worked. Cleaned and fresh start. And so on. Quite clear that the time effect is responsible for the irregularity. A rough curve is obtained if an adequate time is given greater than 30 minutes at a low concentration of T-pole. So I'm using T-pole just to simulate protein to see if I can measure surface tension correctly. And I have here a comment that triethanolamine oleate seems best available as a standard. Back to recrystallizing lactoglobulin on 9th of July. Or I guess it's not, it's the 7th of October. Then here I am, set at last, surface tension of lactoglobulin solutions being measured. And that is still measuring surface tension at the end of book two. So book three is beginning on the 8th of September 1949. Lactoglobulin surface tension experiments continued. So I'm measuring the surface tension of lactoglobulin. decided to abandon this method, which was a method of using the previous cells, and began to think about the method that I eventually used, which is to make a dummy osmometer with a tube selected by capillary test to give the same rise as in the apparatus itself, and then to have a buffer with a rubber latex sack, as I was describing these things from the thesis. This is when I first began to think about using a rubber latex sack to be placed collapsed, and then read the surface effects directly in the apparatus. So all those earlier measurements that were made in a special apparatus were going to be replaced by measurements made on a dummy osmometer. And checking the diameter of the tubes to make sure that there was not a difference in pressure due to the diameters of the tubes. And have a note: before the measurements, all apparatus was cleaned with nitric acid and ethanol. That's that method that I've described before, which is very dangerous. And then with water and alkaline potassium hydroxide, and then water. Even alkaline potassium hydroxide is very dangerous. Water and distilled water, to follow the earlier practice, everything had to be impeccably clean. Here's the place I think I mentioned before somehow, which book three? Yeah, because here we are. The former had been left coated with silicone. It was cleaned by boiling in aqua regia for several hours, and then potassium hydroxide and ethanol. I don't know, but we must have found that in the thesis, because here was the page in which it was being done. So that was commented on in the thesis, wasn't it? Yeah. And the comment here that after this work on the 13th of September 1949, saying that underlined, the U-tube and either former can be used to indicate capillary rises in the osmometer to better than 0.01 centimetres, a tenth of them. Well, let's see, how many is that? Centimetres, millimetres, 0.1 of a millimetre, which is the level I decided I wanted to do. My initial attempt was with surgical rubber finger stalls, and they were too thick for the sack. They were made by British Rubber Products Research Association. So I decided to make the membranes myself. It's more lactoglobulin, precipitation as usual, crystallization, recrystallization in the meantime. And two methods of trying to prevent losing crystals of protein that when it was being dried, neither very successful. So I tried a different one. Have a note here, 9:25 p.m. freeze drying stopped for night, and flask rubber stopped after admitting air through sodium hydroxide and liquid air traps. So I let air back into the system that had been fully dried, and the powder says no jumping, very dry in appearance. Everything, we're trying to get accurate level of, by weight, of lactoglobulin. Check of rubber sacks, and the British Rubber Association sent me two latex sacks wash them well, etc., etc. And found their difference and said they're much too thick. She'll have to wait for thinner ones. So we got latex again from the Rubber Association and made the sacks myself. Test of the rubber sack. Half a dozen were made. The formers were numbered 1 to 4 and then were tested. What the difference was on the two sides of the dummy osmometer. Quite small differences. Different formers. Formers, different YouTubers. Here's a note that's clear that the formers 1 and 2 are used together with together as osmometer and surface tension compensator, etc. Errors will be very small, less than 0.005 centimetres. Testing these sacks. I made one half the thickness. Made one yet. Tried to make it yet thinner. The difference in pressure on the two sides of the collapsed one were really very nice, 0.002 to 0.004 centimetres. And I'm aiming for 0.01 centimetres in precision, so 0.1 millimetres, so I'm not really very worried about them. Removed the sack and retested it, etc. Sacks made on Friday, used on Monday. And a final, or nearly final conclusion is that thus these thin sacks do not introduce any appreciable constraint on setting up of levels, provided that they are visibly collapsed. Addition of a little more buffer should not alter the level difference when the sack is properly collapsed. This should give adequate tests if the collapse not visibly adequate. So I was happy with these little collapsed rubber johnnies. Worried about the apparatus being clean, obviously unclean. Nitric acid and ethanol, again, that disastrous mixture to get things clean. Further check on the rubber sacks performed by measuring the level plus with the sack, and the difference is only 0.001, which is a hundredth of a millimeter. Hundredth of a millimeter. And it says here that a reasonable, but not excessive, cleanliness was used. All of the formers are within the limit of 0.010 centimetres of each other, so I'm happy with them. Now I'm back to osmotic pressure trial, osmometer itself. This is 16th of November 1949. Made up fairly accurate 0.1 molar sodium chloride, 5.85 grams needed. And chlorobenzene droplet tried again using the sample chlorodroplet, but that's a droplet that goes in the horizontal tube of the osmometer. I have a note here that on Friday afternoon the droplet was placed in the tube, and it was slightly deformed by the tube, so it was completely blocking the tube, as it should. But on Monday it was now no longer blocking the tube. Friday afternoon the droplet was placed in the tube. On Sunday it was still all right. Monday morning it was no longer blocking the tube and was visibly smaller, and later on it got smaller still. So some solution is occurring. The same two times redistilled also chlorotoluene was tried, which is solubility is less and the density is 1.08. So I'm trying orthochlorotoluene instead of chlorobenzene. And I remember that in fact was what I used finally. Droplet very little smaller overnight. Orthochlorotoluene is therefore suitable. Continue checking. Mixed and allowed the droplet to move for at least 1 minute before timing, etc. And had a comment here, leakage, buck four, but okay for Oliver. Thermostat overheated, changed to a 50 watt bulb instead of evidently a 50 or bigger. Remade the joints. Set up on this 24th of November, set up about 20 centimetres of water overnight mix, and the droplet is now correct, and try several timings for each point. Back over the page one way and the other, learning to do multiple measurements. And did an ultracentrifuge run for somebody here. D. Hamer, don't remember who D. Hamer was. Reset up the drop again, got better results. By Monday, this was those readings were done on 24th, and then on the 28th, the drop is still okay. So orthochlorotoluene is evidently quite suitable. And then I have measurements plus or minus 0.02 centimetres, which is five times better than I wanted to get as my accuracy. So I was pleased with it. Particularly fast membrane, nearly two times faster than usual, plus or minus 0.01 centimetres. That's the 0.1 millimetre that I was aiming for. Here's plus or minus 0.015, dirt in the U-tube. So cleaned and continued, dirt in the U-tube. Altered my precision. Very much better, plus or minus less than 0.01. Shall adopt this method. 11.16 plus or minus 0.01. That's centimetres, so that's within the tenth of a millimetre that I'd set for myself. Calibration of the manometer for surface tension effects and the apparatus starting on the 12th of December 1949, and several pages of measuring that. Then a summary of how to set the apparatus up. Method of setting up, or method I was going to use, was set up the manometer, U-tube and osmometer cleaned overnight. Acid ethanol, and then just before use, potassium hydroxide and ethanol, and then distilled water, etc. A whole list of things to be that precision, how to do it in different order of doing things. I was just a bit worried about dirt getting into the system. Here's a sad one. The U-tube was broken, repaired with the same tubing. Thank you for the glass blowers. The new U-tube shows levels accurate enough for all formers. The formers were the things used to make either the rubber sacks or the semi-permeable membranes. Comment here on the rubber sack: the degree of collapse is not crucial, but it's better to be more rather than less. None of them gave much of an error. The rubber sacks are adequate to less than plus or minus 0.005. Now here I am on what's called pre-equilibrium. First attempt at using the dried out membranes and dialyzed lactoglobulin showed considerable time for it to come to equilibrium. Part of the cause might have been that the dialysis sac was not stretched and may have been part of the cause, so I try to stretch it a bit. Notice the leakage in the rubber sack and test them before using them. So overstretching them is not a good idea, makes them leak. Continuing rubber sacks. Now I'm testing on the 10th of February. Decided to try heating the sacks before removing them from the former. Stretch them. It didn't seem to make any difference. Obviously concerned about these sacks still. The test of the collapsibility of the latex, the sacks have been steamed for 10 minutes on the 15th of February. degree of collapse increase considerably. If they get complete, it's not good. So you have to have a sac that's neither overextended or too compressed. There's a little diagram of what you shouldn't have. Test of collapsibility. It looks like there's a new lot of these sacks gave none were leak proof. They had to be double coated to prevent them from leaking. Test of collapsibility, still doing it. And that's the end of this book. Still working on the collapsibility of the things to measure surface tension. So there's so much work in trying to get something which is only a minor correction. Amazing. So calibration of the U-tube, nitric acid and ethanol cleaned, potassium and ethanol cleaned, and then distilled water. We're starting on the 23rd of March 1950. So I was unhappy about what was going, because it turned out that the tubes were not uniformly parallel. They could be slightly tapered, and so I had to get a new type of tubing called Viridia tubing, which you could buy where the diameter of the tubing was guaranteed to be uniform all the way up the tubing. Mm. And you could buy that and make the apparatus from that. Had a standard flask. I don't know what I was trying to do. Oh, this was calibrating the flasks used for making solutions. So I found that it wasn't 500 milliliters, it was 499.5. An error of one part in 1,000. This flask can be taken as 499.5 cc plus or minus 0.1 cc. Completely crazy. I don't know where this impossible focusing on precision came from. Because later on I learned to do what I called Saturday morning experiment, where you don't have to measure anything, and you have to keep notes, but you can use a spatula for measuring and just take a pinch of that and a pinch of that and do a crazy experiment on Saturday morning, because you're allowed to be crazy. Anyway, here I am making lactoglobulin again, and the electrodialyzer, trying to get it to have a better flow, a pattern of water, so that I get rid of the salt more quickly. And so numerous attempts, they mentioned in the thesis, of trying to get the flow pattern in the electrodialyzer better. Not very important, but still pages of doing this, and a different way of trying to prevent losing protein when freeze drying. Protein solutions being made. Pre-dialysis technique. Use for 0.710 for molar sodium chloride. At that time, I don't know why I was wanting 0.0710 molar sodium chloride, but it was a different method of dialysis against it, with the rotary dialyzer that Sandy Oxton had made that went backwards and forwards. or round and round, round to the left, round to the right. Calibration of the thermometer. Now I'm calibrating the thermometer. The total immersion thermometer vertically, minus 5 degrees centigrade to 50 degrees centigrade in 0.1 degree centigrade division. And it was a calibrated thermometer number EN80740. And I'm trying to find out what the correct temperature was versus the reading. I don't know where I got the constant temperature from. Must have been calibrating my thermometer against this military standard thermometer. So the military standard thermometer I took as being correct. And the correct temperature was 40 degrees and the reading of my thermometer was 40.01, and at 25 it's 25.06, and at 20 degrees it was 20 degrees. So the calibration of this thermometer was good to plus or minus 0.02 degrees centigrade. So measured with a National Physics Laboratory standardized thermometer 2476, which was calibrated at 40 degrees, 25 degrees and 20 degrees, which had been corrected. So I was using a national standard thermometer to calibrate my thermometers. Calibrating the refractometer, now using potassium chloride solutions, which have known refractive index. Everything was to try to get more and more precision out of the thing, more refractometer measurements. My former was broken and repaired. Trying to drive the proteins more effective, but protein more effectively without losing it. Made a little apparatus. Recalibration of the refractometer again. Somebody else's freeze dryer I tried. Weighing bottle here, the hope was to make 0.900900 molar sodium chloride. High precision again, protein solution. The apparatus which was finally used to make the solutions that I measured, my final measurements were with sacks containing 2%, 4%, 6%, 8%, 10% lactoglobulin for dialysis. I refer to this in the thesis. So some of this is in the thesis. Oh, it's the other way around. Some of the thesis information is in this book. More manometer tests with this new, a new tubing, but it turned out that the tubing was what I called semi-matte internally. And the hysteresis is very marked. That's to say, going upwards and going downwards, it remembered which way. Water alone doesn't improve this much. Water and T-pole removes the hysteresis, but it's still present. It's clear that mercury is not suitable for smaller osmotic pressures. calibrating the balance now. It says rough calibration of large weight. Assume that the Sartorius weights are accurate enough. Other kilogram weights are adjusted to 1 kilo. One needed 100 milligrams to correct the 1,000 molecular weight standard, and the other needed 200 milligrams. So that they, I'm correcting the balance weights now, calibration of balance weight. So lactoglobulin 14, X14, must have been the 14th lot. So it goes. Electrophoresis, leak developed, leading to uncertainty. And the charge. I didn't remember doing any electrophoresis experiments in Oxford, but I must have done. I'm back to collapsing rubber sacs and membranes again on the 1st of February 1951. Two different ways of making membranes. The slight difference in shape of the former made a difference. So here I am calibrating the thermometer. A calibrated thermometer was used to obtain the accurate density of tribromomethane, CHBr3. Which was used for measuring pressure. So a pycnometer was acid and alcohol cleaned and distilled water filled with deglassed distilled water and put in the thermostat at 25 degrees. And after 2 hours, the level was adjusted to the lower mark and it was weighed. And then it was emptied and dried. And then the tribromomethane was added in order to measure its density. So mass with PYK, the pycnometer, plus tribromomethane. Mass of aqueous contents, 27.5612. grams, and with the CHBr3 79.5348 grams, and so that the specific gravity was 2.886, corresponding to something here of 2.877. Unfortunately, a yellow color, therefore. So there was some bromine formed. She'll have to wash again, dry thoroughly. Did it again, and I got a density this time of 2886, which is the same as I had before, 2886. Making more lactoglobulin. Surface tension. Review of osmotic pressures to date shows that 0.5, 1% and 2% runs are really advisable in that order. Because it didn't matter if the more concentrated was diluted a little bit by the more dilute, but the dilute being, I felt that would make them more precise. Surface tension again. apparatus was cleaned with this nitric acid ethanol mixture and left in ethanol potassium hydroxide over the weekend, getting everything very clean. The blank was 0.022, just five times better than I needed. And I'm satisfied that the blank is minus 0.015 plus or minus 0.07. Means that the error is greater than the blank itself. I don't like that. There must be some error there. There's a decimal point missing, I think. Electrophoresis on June the 11th, 1951. That's the end of that book. So we're in, I think we finished book 4.